got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
By the way, Andrew, I was doing a little research on this last night. Do you realize we are the only news talk show in America that plays both Fog Hat and Deadmau5 every Friday?
We're the only ones in the entire nation, you said?
In fact, I haven't confirmed this yet. I believe we're the only one in the world.
I think it's a safe bet. I would bet on that. Okay. I think we can make that claim pretty confidently.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome! Our final hour of the broadcast week. We better make it good. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
We've had so many great topics this week, and sometimes when you're enjoying a fine multi-course meal, you have a little saltine in between to cleanse your palate. My saltine cracker. Is
now he's the tops in all the land. Let's all give that man.
Oh,
a
no,
no.
My saltine is John Curley. Hey, lean over a little closer.
I don't
want to
be your saltine.
Let me give you a lick.
I don't want to be your saltine.
What? I heard you were licked by a cow once.
I was. It left a really awful stink on me for a really long time. That's another story, but Dory, you know, I don't know if you ever feel this way. You know, you start prepping for the show, which takes 23 hours. As soon as you get off the air, people don't realize
actually,
that
only
you
21.
Get right onto the 21. You get off the air. Well, you're still prepping while you're even doing the show.
True.
But when you get off and you dig back in, you dive back into all of this sort of stuff. Let me ask you something. Does it ever bother you? Do you ever feel like if you're swimming around in a big bouillabaisse of just gross, disgusting things that happen in the world, the right, left, the political, all the crazy stuff that happens. How do you not just let it really drag you down?
I in a very serious response to this, I have learned to compartmentalize because this show is a wonderful, you know, pressure cooker has that safety release valve where the steam mm-hmm. can shoot out when the pressure gets too great. This radio show is a great pressure release valve, and I know what kind of person I want to be as a radio host, as a husband, as a father, as a friend. And if I allowed all the stuff we talk about to dominate my attitude towards life the other 21 hours of the day, I wouldn't be the person that I want to be those 21 hours. And so I've just learned to compartmentalize. I care passionately about everything we talk about. How about you? Because I mean, obviously you are working up to a story that has you very, very upset, and understandably so.
I had seen the piece that Dave Ross had written on My Northwest, and it involved the shooting that occurred down there near the McDonald's in January 2020. Third and Pine. And there was one gang was going to be confronted by another gang. That's what most of these shootings are in Seattle, although the news doesn't talk about that. And as it turns out, when the one gang confronted the other two gang members, the opposing gang, they ran away. The two ran away. And as they're running away, they shoot over their shoulder and hit three people. I don't know how many rounds were fired altogether.
19. By this guy and his fellow gang members, they were shooting over their shoulders.
Right. A 50-year-old woman who had a very, very difficult life, finally kind of getting back under her feet for the first time ever. She was dealt with drugs and alcohol, and she was finally kind of turning her life around. She was killed. From a 9-year-old boy was hit in the femur, and it shattered his leg. I haven't seen a follow-up on him. And another woman was shot in such a way that she now has a colostomy bag for the rest of his life. So those are the three victims there. Plus those others were terrorized by the violence that is constantly occurring at Third and Pine. So this kid goes before the jury of his peers and gets off on, as I said in the Seattle Times, that he broke into tears, sobbing with joy because they find him not guilty by self-defense. self-defense. So Dave Ross, who wrote this very short but very compelling piece that he did some research, looked around, said it's just very odd that you can fire a gun while running away. And in the state of Washington, that is considered self-defense. So this kid's walking.
Well, and I mean, as an extra factor here, they went down there to confront a rival gang member on a corner where the gangs are selling drugs in an open-air drug market. So this guy, and his name's Marquise Tolbert, who was found not guilty, he went down, he was sentenced to time already served, to be more precise. But he went down there to confront a rival gang member packing heat in the biggest drug market in the Northwest, and one of the biggest in the country. And yes, he chose to put himself in that exact circumstance too.
Yeah. And Dal Constantine should know that he went down there without a life coach. If only he had had one of those life coaches with him that we're spending $2 million on, maybe things would have been different. But so it, as it is, the guns go off, they run away. And I think those kids then went on the lam and they might have ended up down in Florida or somewhere down south, somewhere Arizona. They caught him. They brought him back. Remember that big story? So as Dave sees that there's really, in the state of Washington, this is considered self-defense. So I had sent the story to Jim Walsh, representative of the 19th District, and in the House there. He said he is working on a bill right now to tighten these things up so this doesn't happen again. And I asked him, where is the outrage on all this? He says it's not getting that much play, but if we could pick up, as he said on the air yesterday, if we could just pick up 9 seats in the House, we could definitely get this thing through. I mean, that's never going to happen. They haven't had control. The Republicans haven't had control of the House. They like 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, and then it's just gone all blue ever since then. But this is a tragic story, but because it's a 9-year-old boy, we haven't heard much from him. The woman that died was a woman that was sort of, you know, living on the outside of normal society. And then I don't know about the woman who's now having, you know, medical issues for the rest of her life. But why, as you always say on your show, and this is what bothers me, this is why I'm feeling sort of down. I don't feel like a saltine today, Dory. It's like, where's the outrage? Why aren't people rising up and saying, well, this thing should be fixed. This should be an easy fix. You shouldn't have to pick up 9 Republicans to get into the House in order to have something be sane when it comes to how someone can fire a gun in self-defense and hit people.
But it's more than that, because one of my focuses, and another way that I cope with all this stuff, is we are working right now on something that I hope we can keep prominent on my Northwest between when the ballots go out and election day, because our judges are a huge part of this problem. And we have judges who are engaging in activism, who are not about enforcing the law, but they're about the, you know, justice in a robe or resistance in a robe, that one judge called it. And the judges who preside over these trials, I can't believe that we don't have a law that is existing that says if a judge applied it correctly, that they could find this guy guilty of manslaughter at the very least. Mm-hmm. And so the judges are another huge problem with all this. And, you know, the story that I've talked about so much is this one judge, Averill Rothrock, let the armed robber, 15, 16-year-olds, go, and then they cut off their ankle bracelets and murder a young man named Jordan Brown, who my daughters went to high school with. And, I mean, that blood is on Averill Rothrock's hands. And so I'm going to focus a lot, John, in the next 2 months on making sure people know all these judges who are letting the crime run rampant. And, of course, everybody in the Democrat Party, I mean, our state legislature has tied the hands of our cops on strict party lines, and Jay Inslee signs the bills that, you know, the story I've talked about, the guy in Vancouver who murdered a 14-year-old girl, has been sentenced to 3 strikes, you're out twice, and Jay Inslee and the Democrats conspire on a bill that's going to let this guy be resentenced on October 14th now. It's amazing.
Well, most of those judges, as you know, Dory, is doing more and more research on this, run unopposed, right? And if the judge has already been serving and people see the signs in somebody's front yard and they just assume, well, that judge is already in there, let's just go with that judge, or it's a down ballot fatigue, as it's known as. So the more referendums you have at the top of the ballot, and then you're going along and you choose this person, that person, oh, who's going to be Secretary of State, then you get down to the judge list, you're like, I don't know. And either people just leave it completely blank, or they just choose it based upon a name or, oh, a sign they might have seen. So that's where you have this. That's part of the system and part of the failing of the system.
If you try to be diligent like I do, you go to the King County Voters Guide and you actually read their statement and you see their endorsements. And for judges, they always say rated outstanding by the King County Bar Association. And I start doing some research on this. The judge or the lawyers who vote in the judicial survey, more than 80% of them are defense attorneys. So the judges who are rated outstanding are the ones who are softest on crimes and let criminals walk free. So now we're in the midst of an unbelievable conspiratorial scam to get as many criminals in our midst as possible. And you know, I know people always think, well, that's a wild conspiracy theory. It's because there are a lot of people who want to impose Marxism and they need to tear down society. Look at Kishama Sawant's, her socialist party's platform. They want to tear down society so they can rebuild it from within. I mean, this is the madness that voters have somehow been sucked into. It's really crazy.
Well, you know, you're going about your daily life and you're trying to do the right things and donating blood and paying taxes and sitting through your kids' awful Christmas recitals and stuff like that. You're just living your life. You don't have time to dig into all of that, and you don't have time to follow along. I'll say that, you know, I don't believe – there's a great book I read. A friend of mine gave it to me when I got elected into the Sammamish City Council. Anatomy of Peace. And it basically says that, you know, not everybody's all bad and all good. So you're trying to think, okay, what is that – what's the motivation of a judge like that you just talked about? I think that they believe that the system itself is corrupt and broken. And if you get a young kid who's 5 or 6 years old growing up without a father and not being led by a mother, and the school district is, the teachers are racist or the system is systemically racist. So these kids are a victim of a broken system. So when they finally get before the judge at the age of 18 or 19 or 20 years old, they see this kid not as the perpetrator, but as a victim of a system. So at that point, they're going to step in and try to right the wrong that they think has been occurring for the last, I don't know, 100 years or whatever, by letting this person go.
And that's their answer.
Right.
For
and so they are going to be the ones right now at this point. I'm going to right the wrong and I'm going to let you go and you're going to head out into the world.
Yep. By the way, you mentioned Dow Constantine a little earlier. You are aware what he's doing, though.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention.
So there is that, John.
Well, I know, because everybody knows it is gun violence. I was thinking of putting up a live stream, continuous 24-hour live stream. I have some guns, and I know you do, because you've worked with who's the people that you
West
go
Coast
to?
West Coast Armory North.
Absolutely the best when it comes to training. Anybody that does respect guns, and most people I know that have guns, absolutely, respect them, and they understand the training, how important that is, and always be training and be kept up on it, because if you are going to take the responsibility of a gun, you should know how to use it if you happen to use it. I was going to do a live stream because I've got some guns. I was just going to have a camera just sitting on a gun at my place, and you could look at it 24 hours a day to see that it hasn't killed anybody, and I'd have a clock running because everybody knows that it's gun violence. It's not human violence. It's gun violence. Yeah. That's the problem. So
Dow
is
on
the right track.
You should get one of those signs like they have on construction job sites. 72 days without a murder. Just think about it.
That would be great. But the reason I bring this up at the very beginning about how do you not, I always sit in a call, at least every 3 weeks I'll say, ugh, I'm so sick of all of this, the circus aspect of life. But then you have to remind yourself by talking to normal people that the stuff on the far left and the far right, all the crazy stuff that goes on, is not emblematic of this country. Most people are sane human beings that live their life in a normal way. The best story I ever had, I flew all the way to Arkansas to pick up a 1966 Ford F-100. And when I went to buy the thing from a guy named Bernie, so I handed him the check. I said, Bernie, is this thing going to make it all the way back to Seattle? He said, hell if I know. I said, what do you mean, hell if you know? It's your truck. He holds the check up. He goes, not anymore. And he laughed. He was an 80-year-old guy. He loved this truck that he had redone. And he says, and as I got in the truck, he comes around the corner, puts his hand on the right there on the windowsill. He says, listen, I don't know if it's going to make it all the way to Seattle, but I know this. Here's what you're going to find out. You've never been here before. I said, no. You never driven that far. I said, no. You're going to find out this is the best GD country in the world. I said, how am I going to find that out? If your truck breaks down, people are going to help you from here all the way to, well, maybe not in Seattle, but here all the way to wherever you need to be. And Dory, the truck broke down four times. Missouri, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Boise. And every single time, without having to ask, someone came out of somewhere. Let me see. Start it up. We put it down. One guy in Oklahoma, 10 o'clock at night, comes out from the gas station. Let's see. And he opens the hood. He's looking there. He licks his finger, and he's licking down near the spark plug and licking his finger, and he's running his finger in and licking it. Licking. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I want to see the gasket going out. We get a mix of oil and gas in there. You don't. No, I don't taste any gas. I said, do you need to lick anywhere else on the truck? He goes, no, I'm good. I'm good. Start it up. Start it up. He gets in there. Starts right up again. Yeah. What do I owe you?
Yeah.
Nothing. I said, well, you seem pretty hungry the way you were licking the truck. He just laughed. Good. I'm good. And then he went back in, sit down, hang out with somebody. Four times, Dory, four different states.
Yeah.
Because that's America.
Absolutely.
The stuff that we talk about on a regular basis, it's not. I mean, it's the circus comes to town stuff. It's all the crazies. And it's sometimes you just every once in a while need to, you know, be reborn in the cleansing waters of regular life.
Absolutely. I think that the problem is it's becoming so frequent that more and more families are being affected. When we talk about the fentanyl and the drug and the migration and the crime, and it's just there are too many families. Okay, on a much lighter note, and finally.
Yes.
So Tuesday, right after the show, I went out, got some coho salmon, which, by the way, I cooked last night.
Mm.
I think I like the taste of coho better than King.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
But I'm driving home from Everett, and I hadn't eaten since the morning, and I saw a Quiznos. So I stop and I pop in. It's 8:02. All the chairs are up on the tables. The door's unlocked. I open the door. Two kids behind the counter. I go, hey, are you guys still open? Yeah, sure. And I walk in. They fix me a sandwich. And on the wall to my left, I see a T-shirt under glass.
Yeah.
And the T-shirt says, I beat John Curley.
Yes.
Yes. With a blank check from your home address when you were on the council in Sammamish.
Yeah.
And
it's
a U.S. bank check, and the account number sitting right there. What are you doing? What's this all about?
I trust this is a great country and no one, but although I do appreciate you telling everybody where it was and everything else so that they can go and steal the account now off of that. But that account is closed.
No, Nicole told me, I read the account number to Nicole and she goes, oh, is that the U.S. bank account? And, yeah. and she said, oh, I just closed that a few weeks ago for John. So. All right.
The purpose of the story real quick is when I used to run a lot of 5Ks, people used to see me and go, are you John Curley? Yeah. Are you going to run this? I said, yeah. Oh, my God. There's only one guy I want to beat. It's you. And that happened in every single race. Half marathons, marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks, everything. People always want to beat me. So I realized, I know what I'll do. I'll start at this thing called I Beat John Curley. You go online. You challenge me. Cost me 3 seconds at the start. And if you beat me, you're in the running for a drawing. You get a free T-shirt. And then if I pull your name out of the hat, I'll give you a check for $2,500 or $5,000 to your favorite charity. So we would have 400 people challenge me, and I'd have to try to catch them and run them all down. And then if they beat me, and they'd get a bunch of money for their charity.
See, stuff like that is how you counterbalance all the nonsense we have to deal with.
That's right.
All right, John, have a great show this afternoon.
Thank you, Dory. By the way, Fog Hat is playing at a bar in Florida on the 7th of October. There are still tickets available.
And you know who might be opening for them? Leroy Van Dyke.
Get out of here! Oh, my God. What a bill, huh? There we go.
It's the dream team. John Curley, you can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7.
John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. Cat story.
Get out of here now, you lovable guy. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then lots more to sift through as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Half hour of a broadcast week. Let's make it count. I was thinking I had a decision to make there, Andrew. Nicole's all upset with me because the segment with Curly went 3 minutes too long. And I thought, well, I can make up a minute or two by jumping out of Dead Mouse a little early, and then I couldn't get myself to do it. I just got some behind.
A minute or two.
What?
We're not letting that play 3 minutes or 2 minutes or...
How long do I let it play, long. Andrew?
You let it play for a minute.
Yes.
No, get out. Is that all it is?
Yes.
That's all it is, yeah.
Feels like 7 minutes.
No.
It's all... Every Friday, it's only 1 minute of Dead Mouse?
Well, we shouldn't even be talking about this. It's just going to encourage bad behavior.
What do you mean bad behavior?
We can't let it go longer than that. We have a show to do.
You let it go for 1 minute and 6 seconds consistently.
Seriously? I would have guessed it was at least two. And I have a clock in my head. Well, I got to get some news now. Enough of all this falderall. Finally, the police and politicians sound like they are getting serious to put pressure on the Democrats in Olympia. And that is because, as you know, a year and a half ago, the Democrats in Olympia, they made this the most criminal-friendly state in the country with the most restrictive police chase law in the country. In most cases, cops, even if they see a stolen car, they can't chase it unless they believe they have evidence of drunk driving or if they witnessed a felony. And that's a pretty high bar. And so most chases or most stolen vehicles, most criminals can go unpunished in Washington. And now a bunch of mayors and politicians and sheriffs and police officers, they have come together to send a message to the Democrats in Olympia.
In 2021, the Washington State Legislature banned most police pursuits unless it was for a violent crime or sex offense. While this might sound reasonable, the reality is that public safety decreases as criminals become more brazen, knowing the police cannot pursue them to enforce the law.
And then they show all these examples of where they have a car pulled over and the car swerves, drives up a sidewalk in a couple of cases to elude them, and the cops have to just stand and watch them go bye-bye. Because that's what the Democrats in Olympia chose for our state. And what's happened? Well, now we're getting back to what John and I were just talking about. Families are being devastated. We have had a 31% increase in traffic fatalities since this new law went into effect. So for hundreds of families, they are getting a knock on the door that someone they loved, in many cases, you know, kids. I just saw a story this morning. Oh, it broke my heart. A 19-year-old girl was driving, and a wrong-way driver, I believe it was I-5, hit her head-on and killed her. A wrong-way driver kills a 19-year-old girl. And I was I was thinking, I want to find out who this kid was that was killed, and I want to know her life story, and I want to tell it on the air, and I want to let her family know how sorry I'm. I mean, because yeah, I had three girls out on the roads at age 19, and you know, especially when they start driving when they're 16, 17, and they start going out on Fridays and Saturdays with their friends. I'd be in my office, my home office, every night. And when I saw the flash of headlights on the window, on my wall, the car was turning into my driveway. It was, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Another night where they've made it home safely. And just the idea that there's a family out there that got that knock on the door after a wrong way driver. So anyway, this is a cool video that the sheriffs, the police officers, some of the politicians put together.
Drive away from us. Instead of apprehension earlier on in his crime spree, he was allowed to commit further crimes and destroy his house, also belonging to his spouse and children. This was completely preventable.
There are some criminal suspects that need to be apprehended while their crimes are being committed to prevent further victimization to our communities.
We need to take a balanced approach to this public safety issue.
No one wants more pursuits, which are inherently dangerous. But current law has created an atmosphere of defying the law, even on simple traffic stops.
Absolutely. You see, most of the country, traffic fatalities are flat or down in almost every state except Washington, where they're up 31%. So unless the Democrats fix, and they had a chance to fix it last session, they chose not to. There are a lot of Democrats in the legislature who love the crime and the mayhem because of their sick ulterior motives. If they didn't love it, they would have fixed it. But they love it. So now we're going to see if the leopard can change its spots. I think I got the tiger stripes, leopard spots. Yeah. Or you got to start voting Democrats out in the state legislature. Those are the choices coming up this November. All right, quick time out, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. Before I get to our awesome audio, Nicole, I saw a very interesting text just now. Since we were talking about how long I played Dead Mouse at 2:32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is from the 360. When and if you retire, will you play Dead Mouse as your walk-off song? Would make up for losing the greatest host of the top-rated radio show in the nation. Hope it's years and years away, though. That was very nice. Very sweet. No. Have I told you, even Nicole, that, first of all, let me ask you, what do you think the chances are that I'll get to knowingly do a final show?
I think they're good. Decent.
I think they're really good.
Honestly.
But, yeah.
But you never know.
No, I mean, if we have our current management, I'm pretty sure.
Decent.
That I'll get to go out on my terms because I've never, in 27 years, I've never had a better relationship with management. And I've had, you know, a couple good, really good managers, but never better than now. And, but have I told you what the final song will be whenever the final show is? Which I hope is years.
Yeah,
and years
I know
away.
We've talked about it a few times, but I don't remember.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to say even if you did remember. I just don't know if I've ever told you, but I know with certainty what the final playoff song will be on
You're
the final episode
you?
Of this show, if it's my choice, if I knowingly have a final show. Which it's tracking really well for that to happen. But see, now that would be a good text question. What do you think the final song of the final Dory Monson show should be? And like I said, years away, no plans. I'm loving this too much. Okay, with all that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Yeah, but if you have an idea of that final song, I'll check the text even after we're off the air. 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476. Let's see if you can come up with something so great, so brilliant, that it'll dethrone the one that I decided about 10 years ago what the final song on the final episode of this show would be. So, but I'm open if you come up with something better. Okay, awesome audio. Let's get to it here. Crying out loud. This has been a pretty good week. There's some even today that I haven't played. Brand spanking new. Joe Biden, as Matt Gilbert said on Twitter, I think this soundbite needs more context.
We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but anyway. This woman helped me get an awful lot done. Anyway.
He's pointing to some woman in the crowd where he's speaking, and he clearly can't remember her name because he never says it, but he sees her. But that first line.
We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but.
Hair sniffer. You know that? He's a hair sniffer, that one. Then. See if you can transcribe this for me.
But the truth is, there's a lot more Republicans out there taking credit for the new bridges and those bones that are collapsing.
And the bones that are collapsing? Okay, well, I'll give you one more shot. Then you can transcribe it. 888-973-CHIRO.
But the truth is, there's a lot more Republicans out there taking credit for the new bridges and those bones that are collapsing.
I think I know what he's trying to say.
Bugs and craps?
Huh?
Bugs and craps and stuff? I don't know.
I think he's trying to say buildings that are collapsing.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of Republicans are trying to take credit for buildings that are collapsing. Good call, Joe.
But the truth is, there's a lot more Republicans out there taking credit for the new bridges and those bones that are collapsing.
Oh, yeah, well, something like collapsing. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then finally, this is a cool story. This is down in Mississippi, shopping mall. Dad is there with his son. Armed robber comes in. The store owner has a gun behind the counter, fires back at the robber. The father jumps on top of his son. And Dad's a big man, too. But he jumps on top of his son. He'll take the bullet to save his son's life. Listen to the kid. Talking about what Dad did.
The McMillans say it all happened steps away from them on the second floor. You can even hear the shouting growing in the background of their video. Shortly after, Travis grabbed his son and shielded him.
What I did was I grabbed him and covered him up so that if anything would happen, it would hit me and not him, and it'd protect him.
It's not how Ethan wants to remember picking up his first pair of Jordans.
My dad said I should have ordered them, but after the gunshots, I wish I would agree with the ordering it.
But this brave 8-year-old is waking up today, Jordan's in hand, calling his dad his hero.
He's better than Superman.
Better than Superman. You better believe it, kid. I gotta get out of here. The John Carley and Sherry Alicor show is coming up next. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here Monday. High noon.